This is Shippensburg 2014 with Brother Stephen Palmer's last class on Be Ready Always to Give an Answer.
Morning, everybody. Last class. Bittersweet, eh? Right. So, something happened to you yesterday. You were wide awake before I got here, which is excellent. You've got good stamina. So where are we? We're looking at echoes of Old Testament scripture in the Epistle of Peter. We're looking at basically techniques for Bible study. We're looking at how to discover points. You know, somebody's thinking, well, you hear a good point or thought, right? And it's not somebody's thought, but it's something in the Bible. You say, oh, that's neat. I didn't know that. And then you say to yourself sometimes, how did they find that, right? How did they discover that? You know, is it like they got a website on the internet somewhere you've got to go that they keep in secret, which if I could know the address, I could discover it as well? No. It's reading the Word of God and realizing that it's written in a way to try to teach us if we will receive the message. All right? So we looked at echoes. Now, Exodus, Leviticus, perhaps not the easiest. But Daniel, boy, you're on fire yesterday, right? You've got those echoes of Daniel. What this is just a spreadsheet from a school of the prophets where brethren twice your age, actually, were sitting together and looking for references to the book of Daniel. Now, I think they weren't very discriminating, were they? They saw basically every word in 1 Peter linked to Daniel. If I said to you, there are lots of links between Daniel and 1 Peter, and you believe me, then you'll go and find them. The question is, when is it imagination? When is it all wishful thinking on our part to make a connection? And when is it a connection which is really there? Right? That's what we're after, right? We're not asked really to use our imaginations in a way that a literary student would. So run your eye down that page. Is there anything there that you think is convincing as a link with Daniel? They are random colorations, just this way the spreadsheet colors itself. Okay. It doesn't signify it. Okay. The first column is the reference to 1 Peter. That's A. B is a word or phrase in 1 Peter, that verse. And then the column D are the cross references to Daniel. Sometimes they're general, sometimes there's only a chapter. Sometimes there's a specific verse. All right, so, yeah. Okay, so that was one from yesterday. So we'd have to go down to line 13, verse 1, before you get to a specific. So what I do when I'm looking at these things, right, is try to distinguish between the general and the specific. If somebody says, I can think of a link between strangers scattered and Daniel, well, Daniel was a stranger in Babylon. They had been scattered. So it is a real link, but it's not specific in that there are many other times when people were scattered. But trial by fire is specific, because how many trials by fire do you know? Right? How many times were people tested by the heat of a fire? Can you think of any other ones? I can't think of any other ones. So that's what I mean by specific, right? If you look through the whole of the Bible, if you said, well, where are people tried by fire? You'd come to Daniel chapter 3, and you probably wouldn't have many other places on your list. So once you find something that, if you like, a rare connection, then you start to think, well, maybe there's something going on here. What happens when you come down? Anything else on that page? I think some of them you suggested yesterday. But I don't think you're too impressed so far. Okay. What about going further down? Well, look at 1 verse 12. Daniel, you want to have your Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 1, if there are any good links that you want to capture, then I'll leave it to you to decide. Ones which convince you. But for me, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, refers to angels desiring to look into the things that the prophets wrote. Well, even my margin has got a cross reference to Daniel chapter 8 and verse 13. So the cross references in the Oxford margin, they're pretty good. So you could use those. Verse 13, then I heard one saint, probably an angel, speaking to another saint, another angel, said unto that certain one which spake, how long? So one angel talks to another angel and says, well, how long is this going to take? It sounds a bit strange, but doesn't Peter talk about angels desiring to look into what's been written? Right? That's quite interesting. Go down. Can you see anything else on that page that would convince you? Okay, an interesting one. 1 verse 19, the Lamb is without blemish. What sort of people were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel when they were taken? Daniel chapter 1 verse 4 says, children in whom is no blemish. So that's quite an interesting correspondence. Anything else there? You're not impressed, okay. What about chapter 2? Anything in chapter 2? Which line is that? No, I'm just asking you, is there anything in that list of possible connections between 1 Peter and Daniel that you think, oh, I think that's a good connection, that's a real connection, that's a definite link, like the fiery furnace link? Is anybody, hands up if you think that's a good link, if you're convinced that that's an intended connection, all right? So you're making a distinction now between what's intended, what God is saying. I want you, when you read my word, to think of Daniel and some of the other connections where you think, oh, it's a bit vague, it's a bit indefinite. Can you think of anything else on that list? Didn't somebody point this out in yesterday, 2:12, speaking as evildoers? Yeah? Okay. Okay, you see, so the context is that they were to submit themselves unto governors. Right. Just tell us all for the sake of the camera.
So, verse 14, or unto governors, kind of goes with when they had to submit themselves unto the they were supposed to submit themselves unto Babylonian, basically rulership, and the rest of 14 kind of adds that, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well, adds unto the whole, I guess, feeling of them going to Babylon and having to submit themselves, or supposed to have to submit themselves, and they didn't.
And you're right, Daniel did submit because he was working in the civil service. He was working for the federal government, wasn't he? So he didn't go and protest. He didn't go and hunger strike. He didn't chain himself to the gates. He didn't, fight against Babylon. He submitted to what he knew was God's plan for Israel, that they should go into captivity. Remember, Jeremiah says, and when you go, they'll build houses, have families, because you're going to be there for 70 years. I'll look after you and bring you back. So I think that's a very good connection, actually, which I hadn't thought of. But, it's an excellent point, really, because that's the situation we're in the world, that we're in the world but not of it. We pay our taxes. We submit to the rule of this world so long as it doesn't contradict the rule of God. That was Daniel's issue till the end of his life when it did contradict. All right, that's a great one. Now, moving down. See if you can see. Going down there. Can you see anything there? Tell you an interesting one. In verse 17, it says, honor the king. Well, certainly in the English version, the only other place you get that phrase, honor the king, guess where it is? Don't think it's on that list there. It's Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the king of heaven. It's interesting. Nebuchadnezzar, the great king, honored the king of heaven. Whereas, Daniel honored Nebuchadnezzar insofar as Nebuchadnezzar was a fitting representative of God's authority. Anything else there? Get onto stronger ground now. So what people do, is that they go through word by word through a passage of Scripture, looking it up in the concordance. That's Brother Jim Cowie, he gives you notes. Looking up every, how long do you think that took him? Yeah, it didn't take him a couple of hours, did it? It would take him days and days and days and days. So when, brethren come here and they teach you, it might take them years to discover what they're sharing. And it's very difficult to convey a sense of discovery when you're listening to something for the first time. If you just want to rush through these things, you're not going to appreciate what's happening. If you want to take time and find treasure, that poor man, what was his name? Terry Herbert. How many times has he been out in the fields and not found anything? Yeah? Probably all his life. And there are thousands of people who don't find anything. He was the lucky one. But God has laid treasure up in a field for us to discover it. Anything on there that catches your attention? Well, I wonder why they didn't put some of those in that we know are there. They missed a few there, didn't they? What about chapter 4? We've looked at chapter 4, haven't we? And we've got banquetings. What else do we have? Idolatries. We looked at chapter 4. We had in verse 6 that they might be judged according to men in the flesh. Daniel's name means God is judge. Verse 17. So we had a few that they haven't got. Right? So that's always possible. You may see something that somebody else has failed to see. And that doesn't mean it's not right. So there are all those other things. Can you see anything else that catches your eye? Can you? Yeah? Fiery trial again. Okay, that's underlined. That's twice that's occurred.
Babylon. The whole story of Daniel is pretty much in Babylon.
Right. And you don't get that till you get to the end, do you? All right, that's interesting. Yeah?
The roaring lion.
Okay, the roaring lion. So I think, when you've got these important connections, these ones that nobody argues about, really, roaring lion, fiery furnace, banquet, you've got the big stories of Daniel. So then you can look at the smaller connections and say, well, I wonder if that's part of it. Now, there's one there that I think is part of it, right? And that's for verse 11. Does that have a Daniel ring to it? Right. So, verse 11 says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. Does that sound like Daniel? Let's have a look. Daniel chapter 5, for example. Right, Daniel chapter 5 and verse 11. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Right. And then, I'm not sure. Did I get that one right? Oh, praise is glory. Yeah. So, the better one is chapter 7 and verse 14. This is one of the major visions in Daniel. He sees a power taking the kingdom and destroying the kingdoms of men, setting up the kingdom of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, with the saints. And verse 14 says, and there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. What does Peter say? To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. That's an odd New Testament phrase, to whom be dominion forever. It's a Daniel echo, right? Why is it in 1 Peter? Because it's part of the color of the connecting of thought. Is there anything else that strikes you like that? Look at chapter 5, verse 11. Right? To him be glory and dominion. It's repeated. Right? We've had it in chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 5 and verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. That's a Daniel expression. We just looked at it. So, if I just said to you, glory, dominion forever, Daniel, Peter, they're linked together, probably mean nothing to you at all, right? If I say to you, actually, when you read 1 Peter, we're supposed to be listening and hearing the lessons of Daniel coming through, that when Peter's talking to them, they probably, you know, just imagine it like this, that Peter had a Bible class, a Bible school on Daniel with these people, and he's writing a letter to them, and he's picking up things they discussed in the Bible class, right? And when they read this, they go, yeah, we're with you, Daniel. Yeah, we did that study on, we're with you, Peter, we did that study on Daniel. We're picking up these points. That's the way the Bible's written, all right? Now, for some of you, this has gone all over your head, and you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. But some of you are interested in Bible study at the time, and hopefully you all will be soon, right? And this is trying to get you some technique to try to discover these things. Now, there is one which I want to spend some time on, right, which is one which you might think it's stretching a point till you look at it. So we'll keep Daniel open and go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, if we're in Daniel, if our minds are in Daniel, if the scriptures are linking us to Daniel, this is not a great step into the unknown. It says in verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We know that's from Psalm 34. And who is he that will harm you if he be followers of that which is good? In context of Daniel, what does that remind you of? Who is he that will harm you? What aspect of Daniel? What story? Any? Yeah? Could be the lion's den. Could be fiery furnace, couldn't it? Yeah? Because there are two aspects, you know. What can harm you? But then verse 14 says, but, and if he suffer for righteousness' sake. So it's not certain that we would be got out of every difficult situation. Right? There was a Pakistani brother who was shot dead a couple of years ago because he was a Christadelphian. Now God could have delivered him out of that, but it's in his purpose that that happened. Peter, Simon Peter, was delivered out of prison on more than one occasion, but it was the Lord's will that he would die a death of martyrdom. Stephen could have been delivered from the stones of the enemy, but God's will that he should suffer that. We don't know exactly. We are confident that God can and will do what is right according to his purpose and what is the best for us in the long run. Yeah? Sometimes prayers aren't answered in the way that we want in the short term. So the attitude of Simon Peter is, God is able. Nobody can harm you unless it's the purpose of God to measure it according to your ability. So he says in verse 14, but if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. God's will is going to be worked out in your life. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. All of that is the book of Daniel. Right? The greatest quotation, the greatest link between Daniel and 1 Peter, for me, are two little words, but if. Right? See them there in verse 14, but and if. It's the attitude of faith. Our God is able to save us. But if he chooses in this circumstance not to deliver us from this fiery furnace, do you know something, Nebuchadnezzar? I am not, still not, going to go down and bow down and worship your gods. Right? If you come back to Daniel chapter 3, you'll see what I mean. It is a fantastic statement of confidence in God. In Daniel chapter 3, the band plays, they don't bow down. Verse 16, so verse 13 of chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Verse 15, now if ye be ready at that time, when ye shall hear the sound, the call of flutes, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee. Look, verse 15, if he be ready, right? If he be ready, verse 16, to answer. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 3? Verse 15. Can you see it? Anybody with me? What's it say? Come on. Be ready always to give an answer. That's the language of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar says, if you be ready, right? If you be ready, verse 16, Shadrach and Meshach answered and said, we're ready to answer. When it says we are not careful to answer, the word careful is the word ready. Weston, I said, we're not making haste. We don't have to go and get ourselves ready to answer. We don't need any time out to think what we're going to say. You know, Nebuchadnezzar says, no, look, take your time, lads. This is serious, right? I'll give you a minute. When you hear the sound, you bow down. And they say, Nebuchadnezzar, we're ready to answer you. Right? We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Yeah, that is the spirit of verse 13 of 1 Peter 3. Who is he that will harm you? Our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. If it's his will. But what did they say next? Verse 18. But if not. What does Peter say? But and if. He's drawing our attention to the exquisite point of confidence of three young men in their God's power to save. And it hinges on one three-letter word and one two-letter word. But if. Now, I've marked that one in. I've marked it in. Verse 14 of chapter 3, I've circled but, and I've circled if, and I've got a reference to Daniel 3, verse 18. And in Daniel 3, verse 18, I've circled but and if, and I put a note to 1 Peter 3, verse 17, right? You make that point, make that connection. You can tell the story. You wouldn't need to write anything else. Once you look at those two passages and see them side by side, you can tell the story. That what Peter is saying is he wants us to capture the spirit of three young brethren who stood up against the tide of the world's fashion, who stood up against the sound of, you know, pop, bop, whatever it's called, right? The culture of the day. He stood up against it. Rap and all that business, right? He said, you know, when you hear the rapper starting to rap, then start rapping, right? I said, no. I give you one more chance. When the rapper starts rapping, then you start rapping. No. Yeah, but it's going to be bad for you. They said, no, our God can look after us. Our God will look after us if it's in his purpose. But if he chooses that we should suffer now, we're still not going to rap. Right? Isn't that an immense thing for a young person to say? And there are two little words, right? But if. Because we go, but if it goes wrong, if they turn on me, if I'm embarrassed, if they laugh at me, if I lose my friends, if. Right? All those things. And Peter says, oh, come on now. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, go stand with them. But if, we're still not going to do it. Why? Because it says, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But, verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, here's Nebuchadnezzar asking me to worship his gods. I got the true God to worship. You've put me on the spot to worship your gods. No, I sanctify my God in my heart. And Levi says, well, where is your God? He's not up on any of the platforms. Why are you worrying about that? He's not even here. And they would say, well, he is here. And I'm worshiping him from the heart. He's always here, wherever I am. And so Peter says, sanctify, make holy, make the distinction in your lives when you're surrounded by a huge crowd of people all doing the same thing, all responding to the culture of the day, right? All moving with the music of the time, all following the trends, all following the fashion, right? All playing the same video games, right? All occupied with the same celebrities. Right? That's what he's talking about. You've got to stand up and be different. But if I, but I, you know, it's going to be painful, but our God is able to deliver us. Be ready, verse 50, to give an answer to every man that asketh you, even if it's Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to save us. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar, the next chapter of the Bible, Daniel chapter 4, is written by Nebuchadnezzar. A whole chapter of the Bible written by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had come to learn that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was the one true God. And he says at the end of it, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose ways are truth, his works are truth, and his ways judgment. Isn't that fantastic? Right. How did he learn that? Because three young people said, we're not going to follow the fashion. And in the end, people said, they're different. And they may have laughed at them for a while. But in the end, they say, why are they different? Why are you so different? You know, there was a gentleman watching you playing baseball, softball down there, and football, whatever else you were doing, all having a nice time. And he came over, he was sitting in the park, and he asked a sister who was coming by, came across to see and said, who are you? What are you about? I noticed that you're getting on very well together. And it attracted him. He thought, something going on there. They're different. What's that? He said, are you all a family? He thought everybody was related because they were acting like a family. Isn't that great? Right? Isn't that great? That's not the spirit of the age. That's what he came across. I had a little chat with him. But he was impressed. Could you imagine somebody impressed with the way you play football or the way you play softball? Because he didn't hear any cursing. He didn't see too much competition. He saw it being played in a very friendly way. People of all sorts were, you know, obviously friends, obviously close. And it impressed him. Now, who knows? He was given a card by the sister to go on the website for our preaching blog and see if he follows that. You don't know. But what I'm saying is we can be a witness in a way that we probably don't even realize just by being a bit different in the best sort of way. And that's perhaps the message of 1 Peter for us to hang on to. So in verse 16, it says in chapter 3, having a good conscience. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into that fire with a good conscience, didn't they? Their minds were not burning with shame. The fire was burning, but their minds were quite calm. That whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed. Now, it sort of comes to your point about the lion's den, doesn't it? That those who accused them ended up being ashamed themselves. Those that falsely accused you. Now, that's Daniel chapter 6, isn't it? The false accusing of your good conversation. Good conversation, that's Daniel praying. See, I think you're absolutely right. The other instant comes in at the same time. So it is better if the will of God be so, that he suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Because why? Because Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. So when they stood on the spot, being unfairly taunted and unfairly accused, they could think to themselves, well, the Lord Jesus Christ did that for me, that I could have eternal life. He bore all that. Why would I worry about that too much now? So that is the situation. That is what 1 Peter is about. There's other stuff there, which I haven't gone into, but you can see there that, anyway, for me, I don't know about you, these Old Testament stories come alive when they're seen through the lens of this New Testament scripture. And those are the jewels I'm hoping that you'll look out for in the future and grow in your understanding and take the Daniel spirit into your everyday life. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Yeah? Don't worry about it. Don't fret. Don't panic. Don't get consumed with anxiety. God is able to do all these things for us. He will answer our prayers. He will look after us. So relax. Be happy. Right? Because this is the great blessings that God has promised us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop now. It's been good to be with you. It's been a little bit different, perhaps, but you've got used to it. And I think you may have got a few little pointers as to, you know, listen to the scripture and follow it where it leads. God bless you in the coming year. Thanks so much.